BSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of the program here on Wednesday morning. And 508-996-0500. That is a number to call in. You can also send in app chat messages, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Keep that app handy because starting in the next hour, we will have your 10 codes, one code each hour to try to win cash here on WBSM. And so far already, we've been getting lots of people entering to win cash. Lots of people typing in those codes. And again, if you miss one, it's not the end of the world because there'll be another one in the next hour. 10 chances every weekday for the next couple of weeks. You're going to have a lot of chances at that $30,000 grand prize, but each entry is a chance for the $100 hourly prize. It's all brought to you by Architect Managed IT Services. So keep in mind, those codes will be coming every hour, starting at 8 o'clock through the 5 p.m. hour. 508-996-0500. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
Morning.
I was glad to hear you mention Jack Peterson. I was thinking about him last week or last couple of weeks with the Wareham winning the Division Four. I used to love to listen to the way that he called the games. He did the play-by-play.
Mm-hmm.
His voice just kind of rolled along so smoothly, and I can still hear him today. So I was glad to hear you mention that. With regards to sports reporting, I wish I could listen to the Boston stations. I don't have time, but I really enjoy Saturday morning. It's just a snippet when Ryan and...
Ken Pittman is a big sports fan.
Yeah, they do a little thing, and I really enjoy that. I wish there was a little more of that because for someone like me, it gives me some insight into the sports that I love but don't have time. So just wanted to make that comment. That's all.
Appreciate that. Yeah, and I know that Ken has John Sapochetti on a lot to talk about sports, and they used to talk sports a little more when Jim Phillips was still on Saturday mornings, but Jim has, stepped back and retired more. So, every time he tries to retire, we're like, no, but do this. And so finally he was like, no, more of this. So, they kind of lost that element. But Jim is also a huge, huge sports fan too.
Yeah, yes. All right, good job. Thank you.
Thank you. You have a good day.
You as well. Thanks.
And sports is tough to do in the Boston area, in Massachusetts, because there's better options. People say, and we went through it with the locker room. Like I said, we had three callers, and out of those three callers, I'm exaggerating, of course. I mean, there were probably three regular callers, but... we would get calls from people that would tell us, like, you guys don't know what you're talking about. And in a lot of cases, we didn't. God love Jack Peterson. I love the man. He was a huge influence on me and a good friend to me and helped me get to where I am today. But I would have to remind him all the time during that whole home run chase with Barry Bonds and Sammy Sosa. I had to keep reminding him, it's Barry Bonds, not Bobby Bonds. Bobby Bonds was his father. And Jack would say, I just can't shake it. I can't shake myself from it. And, I understood that it's just, because he grew up knowing about Bobby Bonds. I knew that. But, the audience would call up and be like, you can't even get the guy's name right. So sports fans and sports radio callers can be very vitriolic if they want to be. So we tried at the Standard Times doing a local sports show on our website. We did something called South Coast Sports Zone, where we had the Standard Times writers. We would talk about the pro sports because at that time we had somebody covering each of the pro sports. We had Steve Britt and John Kuchar covering the Red Sox, and eventually Kuchar moved into that full time. Now he writes about the Sox for the Globe. We had Mick Kalagia, of course, one of the best hockey writers in the country, covering the Bruins in the NHL. We had Dave Brown, John Comey, and myself covering the NFL and the Patriots. And then we had me covering the Boston Celtics. So we had people that were actually kind of on the beat, so to speak, even though we were less beat writers and more columnists, but we had people handling all of that. And then we also had, you know, Laurie and Buddy, Ed Collins, plus all the rest of us, you know, covering high school sports. So we were able to talk about that as well. We even had a separate show that we did during football season, South Coast End Zone, where it would be Laurie and myself and Buddy breaking down all the football games. And, you know, for the most part, all I was doing was just running all the tech and kind of serving as the host and moderator. They were the ones with all the expertise, but we tried that and they just didn't get an audience. And granted, this was kind of the early days of, you know, watching a video online, watching a video on a website or on YouTube, but they just didn't catch on. And I don't think it's for a lack of passion for sports in the area. I think it's for a lack of, I don't care what these people have to say about the sports that I love. I got a message here that says, you know, I'd watch a Disney and comic book show. We actually had a comic book show here on WBSM 2 on our, so we tried to have WBSM TV for a little while. The pandemic kind of put a stop to things. So maybe this was post-pandemic, but it was. And I think it was my schedule that put a stop to things. Once I had to get up in the morning, I said, I can't stay here at night and produce these shows anymore. But we had on our YouTube channel, we had a sports show. We had a comic book show and pop culture show called Change My Mind, hosted by Nick Fryer and Wesley Sykes. Change My Mind went on to be a very big show once they left WBSM TV. Because I was like, sorry, guys, I can't come in anymore. And they said, all right, I guess we'll just make it a podcast. They end up on the Dork Podcast Network. And the show just blows up. And now Nick does a whole bunch of comic book shows. And they're just, you know, having all kinds of success. So that's, I guess that was the key for them, is getting away from me and WBSM. They still like to have me on sometimes, especially around October, to talk some spooky stuff. But it's great seeing all the success they've had. And of course, now Nick works for DraftKings. So we've had him on the program talking about some of the, when Masters has started legalized sports gambling. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
What's shaking, Playboy?
How you doing, Lamone?
Pretty good. So, you know, Bruce Wayne's great-grandfather was the one that started Skull and Bones.
Whose grandfather?
Bruce Wayne's. Bruce Wayne.
You know that Bruce Wayne is a fictional character.
Or is he?
I'm fairly certain.
There's been too many people running around dressed like him and saying that they're him. To say that that's where it's supposed to start it, what, 1832, something like that. So yeah, I just thought that would be good to share. Since you said comic books, didn't you just say comics?
Yes,
in a minute.
We actually have a lot of listeners who are big comic fans.
Oh, I used to have. No, but I told you I had all my stuff that was stolen. I had literally over 2 million baseball cards, a million football, 500,000 basketball, 200,000 hockey cards, and 30,000 comic books. And I had, first edition Superman, got from my grandfather, but I wound up getting it later on. But I did have that Muhammad Ali and Superman comic book that was stolen. It was autographed by Christopher Reeve and Muhammad Ali. The only one in existence, so anybody else comes across it, it's mine, it's stolen, so maybe Put some, let the cops know about it if anybody comes up with it. Also, you know that you were talking about, you were saying about something. What I'd like to probably tell you that I haven't shared with anybody else is like my experiences when I went to go to Puff Daddy's place, you know, out in California. And so, and it's like, I go, you got to go to break, don't you? I guess we can wait until after the next break.
No. Tell the story because we only got about a minute left here. So give us the story.
It's too long for me to.
I'm not holding you over to the break though. This is your one call. So if you want to get it out, get it out.
Oh rats! I guess I'll have to wait till tomorrow. Or whatever.
Okay. Keep us in suspense.
I'm going to see Lauryn Hill on the 6th. I was going to take somebody up there from up there by you with me. But it didn't happen. So is there a Bachelor's Grove or somewhere Grove near you?
Yeah. Where is it? I'm trying to think of where it is.
I don't know if it's, is it a Bachelor's Grove or what is that the name of it? Or something Grove?
Let me see. I'm typing it up here. No, I don't think we do have one locally. But I thought that we did.
But I think you did too. I think it might be something.
We have Oak Grove. That's got some paranormal connections. The Oak Grove Cemetery in Fall River. Okay. That's where Lizzie Borden's buried.
Oh, that's right.
But that might be what you're thinking about.
No, there's something else. Something with Dartmouth, near Dillon's Dartmouth area.
No, I'm not sure. I don't think so.
Or Princeton.
Princeton, the school, is far from us, but Princeton, yes. Mass is, well, might even be equidistant.
Okay. Aren't they named at the same place?
Aren't they what? No. I'm sorry?
Is a Princeton school named also after the city of Princeton or whatever?
No, Princeton, the school, is in New Jersey.
Okay, yeah, that's right there. There's the Grove right there or something. Bachelor's Grove or something like that. Not Oak Grove, but some kind of grove. Oh, hell's bells. We'll say, but yeah, I'm stuck in it. So hopefully that one thing I'll try to remember.
Yeah, well, hey, maybe somebody listening will know. I got to hold you there, though, because I do got to take the break.
Are you going live this weekend?
Nope. WrestleMania weekend, man. I'm going to be home watching WrestleMania.
Oh, rats. Yeah, what about the week after?
Perhaps. We're having some discussions about it.
Well, I think that you need, that would be nice. I think the paranormal world is half-assed compared without you in it.
Well, I appreciate that. So, all right. You have a good day.
God bless.
Take it easy.
Bedford.
That is Lamone in Las Vegas. All right. So I do have to take a break. We'll be back in just a few moments. In, we won't stop. 508-996-0500. You can also send app chat messages and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We got an app chat message from Not Bad in Oak Bluffs who says, good morning, Tim. I was disappointed with the call yesterday regarding black crime. It's crucial to note that crime rates are not inherently linked to race or ethnicity. Making blanket statements about racial groups and crime can perpetuate harmful stereotypes and ignore the complexities involved. Rather than focusing solely on race, it's more constructive to address the underlying societal issues that contribute to crime, such as poverty, inequity, lack of access to education and employment opportunities, and systemic racism. Addressing these root causes can lead to more effective and equitable solutions for reducing crime rates across all communities. And I think, you know, Phil Devitt was in the newsroom as I was taking that call. He could kind of see my frustration, and I just decided to move on from that call, because otherwise it was going to turn into a big argument with only a few minutes to go in the show. And I didn't want to rile everybody up and then turn that over to Chris when I knew he had Andrew Saunders coming in right to start the show. But I was feeling a lot of the same way about that call. But I think, you know, the caller tried to present it in a calm and rational way, but I just strongly disagree with what that caller was saying. And again, it's more socioeconomic, I think, you know, a lot of these crime issues are. And it just so happens that that's where, you know, it's a majority of Black folks who make up some of these communities and these neighborhoods where these things are happening, because of socioeconomic issues, not because of their ethnicity, not because of their culture, not because of the color of their skin, but because of the lack of opportunities. So, but that's, you know, sometimes I have to just, you know, pick the fights to engage with, and then when to just move on. If this was a different time slot, if this was, you know, 10 to 12 or 9 to 12, maybe we would have fought a little bit more. But it was better to just, you can have your say and we'll just move on. That's why I, you know, immediately changed the subject. One thing, though, that I do want to talk more about is this story that ABC6 has. Warwick Public Schools dismissing students early for the eclipse on Monday, citing safety reasons, worried about a teacher having a classroom full of students all trying to use eclipse viewer glasses, and also about students driving home in a darkened state. Students walking home as people are driving in a darkened state. So what are your thoughts on that? 508-996-0500. We'll talk about that as well. But right now it is time to go into the newsroom and get all of the headlines of the day with Phil Devitt.
A massive earthquake shakes Taiwan. A controversial immigration law heads to court. And Taylor Swift has no need to play Powerball.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Rescue efforts underway this morning to search for people who might be trapped in buildings damaged by a massive magnitude 7.4 earthquake that struck off the coast of Taiwan. Michael Kastner with more.
Over half a dozen people were killed and hundreds were injured by the powerful earthquake that shook eastern Taiwan early Wednesday local time. Dozens of buildings were damaged by the quake, including a 10-story building that was left tilting and on the verge of collapse. Rescue workers were reportedly trying to reach the basement of the building, fearing people might still be trapped inside. I'm Michael Kastner.
A federal appeals court today will again hear arguments over a controversial Texas immigration law. The law would give the state the power to arrest migrants suspected of crossing the border illegally. Art Arthur at the Center for Immigration Studies says despite today's hearing, the legal battle is not expected to be over anytime soon.
It's possible that SB 4 will never go into effect until the Supreme Court can finally issue a decision on the case, which will not happen this year.
The court last month continued to block on enforcing the law while litigation continues. The Biden administration is arguing that the federal government has exclusive authority to control immigration policy, regardless of Texas's opinion on how it goes about it. Presidential primaries took place in several states Tuesday, and no real surprises there. Voters in Rhode Island, Connecticut, New York, and Wisconsin chose their preferred candidates.
It's good to show face.
I think it's important to pick people for the general election, and I think that that starts in the primary. So if we don't pick the right person for the party, then we get garbage in the general election.
President Biden and former President Trump easily won yesterday, adding to their delegate hauls. The candidates for the general election are technically already set, since Biden and Trump have secured enough delegates to win their party nominations. Tennessee officials say the suspect who allegedly killed a man during an Easter brunch has been arrested in Kentucky. Authorities believe 46-year-old Anton Rucker opened fire in a Nashville coffee shop Sunday, killing a man he'd been arguing with and injuring around half a dozen others. Colorado Republican Congress Congresswoman Lauren Boebert is recovering from emergency surgery. Boebert underwent the procedure after a blood clot was found in her leg. She's been diagnosed with May-Thurner syndrome, a condition which disrupts blood flow. And Taylor Swift is on Forbes' World's Billionaires list. The singer-songwriter ranked at number 2,545 on this year's list with a $1.1 billion net worth. According to Forbes, Swift is the first musician to make the ranks solely based on her songs and performances. It also says her fortune includes more than $500 million in estimated wealth from touring, royalties, and her music catalog, on top of about $125 million in real estate.
WBSM Sports, brought to you by Sparks Auto in Dartmouth.
Red Sox beat the Oakland Athletics 5-4 yesterday. Next game today at 3:30. Bruins beat the Nashville Predators 3-0. They play the Carolina Hurricanes on Thursday. And the Celtics and the Oklahoma City Thunder are at TD Garden tonight at 7:30.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Cloudy this Wednesday morning. Temperature around 40, gusting up to 25 miles per hour. That wind out of the east. Rain moves back in this afternoon. Mid-40s, sustained wind up to 20 miles per hour. We'll be seeing the rain continue overnight tonight. Slight chance of a thunderstorm after midnight, gusting up to 25 miles per hour. Temperature dipping into the upper 30s for tomorrow. Rain again, first part of the day, mid-40s. The wind will continue. Be sure to watch ABC 6 for my full 7-day forecast. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station, 1420 WBSM.
This WBSM news update brought to you by Ocean Wine and Spirits Liquors. For the largest selection of Nips near Fairhaven, now open at 157 Pope's Island in New Bedford. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Hey, I got Penny. There comes a time in every girl's life when she's really got to ask herself. Sometimes just ask herself, should I be steady? Do I want to steady? Do I want to be dying? Is that honest? No, that's what I'm honest. I'm honest with you. She really just said, well, first of all, it's easy to hold. When Joe and Johnny asked her to see her stay, Johnny and I decided.
Three important rules for breaking up. Don't put off breaking up when you know you want to. Prolonging the situation only makes it worse. Tell him honestly, simply, kindly, but firmly. Don't make a big production. Don't make up an elaborate story. This will help you avoid a big tear-jerking scene. If you want to date other people, say so. Be prepared for the boy to feel hurt and rejected. Even if you've gone together for only a short time and haven't been too serious, there's still a feeling of rejection when someone says she prefers the company of others to your exclusive company. But if you're honest and direct and avoid making a flowery emotional speech when you break the news, the boy will respect you for your frankness, and honestly, he'll appreciate the kind of straightforward manner in which you told him your decision. Unless he's a real jerk or a crybaby, you'll remain friends.
Such an obscure song for me to have woken up with in my head this morning, but that was in my head this morning. Not a Surf. Do you remember Not a Surf? Not a lot of people remember Not a Surf, but that song came out. It was popular, no pun intended. And then you never really heard from them again. And then years later, speaking of, you know, when I was working for the Standard Times, I briefly was a music reviewer for the Standard Times for the Coastin section that came out on Thursdays. We had a CD review section called Soundings, where we were supposed to review mostly local artists. But when I started doing that, sometimes record companies would send me CDs from, you know, more known bands, and they sent me the latest release from Not a Surf. And so I was like, I'll write a review of this. And then I was on Not a Surf's email list for like the next 20 years. Every time they had a new song, a new album, a, you know, concert tour, whatever. So I knew everything about Not a Surf. But what a weird job that was in the early 2000s to be reviewing local CDs and local musicians, because there were a lot coming out. And we had a huge music scene back in that time in New Bedford. So many great bands, bands that are still around today or have morphed into other bands. But then we also had people who, because of American Idol, wanted to become singers. And so what it would be was, hey, you know, my parents are going to fund me putting out an album. And there's a recording studio that's willing to record it. And then we're going to distribute it. And then I would get it and I'd say, I don't think you've got a future in this. But I, you know, I couldn't really be negative in my reviews. I couldn't really put people down because they're trying. And I wasn't a critic. I was a reviewer. So I tried to find the positive in everything. But there was one guy who put out an album, a rap album. I believe it was called Secret City, hip-hop album. You know, in New Bedford, that's kind of a nickname for New Bedford, Secret City. But this guy's name was Machete. And he put out a rap album, a hip-hop album, which was pretty good. But what I found odd about it was, I forget the name of the song, but it had a sticker on the front of the CD that said, featuring, you know, whatever the name of the song was, the controversial battle rap with Eminem, who at the time was, you know, the biggest artist in music. And I looked at this and I said, isn't the point of a rap battle supposed to be that the person you're battling with knows that you exist? Like, shouldn't they know who you are? You can't really have a rap battle if the other person isn't listening to what you're saying. That's not a battle. That's, I made up a bunch of rhymes about somebody in the hopes that they would pay attention. So I don't know whose marketing idea that was to put that on the album. Maybe Eminem knew about it and I'm just not hip to that. But that was always like my one question in the back of my head is like, if I ever, ever, ever get to meet Eminem. Like, you know, back then I was covering the Celtics, Patriots. You know, if I get to meet Eminem in a game or something, I just have one question for him. Did you ever hear the battle rap song intended for you by Machete, the New Bedford hip hop artist? Which again, I enjoyed. I liked the album. I just didn't know that Eminem was aware of its existence. It's like today when it's the 2000s music equivalent of what people do today, where they will put out a tweet about a celebrity and tag the celebrity in the tweet, hoping that the celebrity sees it and responds. And I, by the way, I'm guilty of that. I've done that many times. Not that I expect them to respond, but then I geek out when they do. It's not like I'm talking about, you know, Beyonce here either. I got really excited when, like, the cast members of The State would respond to me on Twitter. Just, you know, that's who I would geek out over. One time I tweeted about Ryan Reynolds and he liked my tweet. I was like, all right, that's the biggest badge of honor. Deadpool likes my tweet. But yeah, I never tried to have a controversial battle rap with anybody though. And nowadays you go on YouTube, this was pre-YouTube, but you go on YouTube and there's, you know, every hip-hop artist is trying to have a battle rap with somebody else. But back then, to have put it on your CD, I was just like, like is Eminem going to walk into Words and Music in Fairhaven, look at the local shelf, and say, Words and Music was a store, kids, that existed in Fairhaven, where they sold music and other things. But would he walk in and see that and be like, oh, wait, there's a battle rap against me? I'd better listen to this and then respond. And now, look at what happened. What Machete tried to do basically gave Machine Gun Kelly his whole career. So I don't know. I guess it worked out in the end for somebody, just not for Machete. 508-996-0500. I'm going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a few moments.
So long ago, I don't remember.
and say, if you are looking to have yourself a very special meal, you know, it's WrestleMania weekend, right? Want to cook up some steaks on the grill? Maybe get some jumbo chicken wings, some celebrity pork chops, nice big tomahawk steak, something, you know, something that's really going to help you celebrate WrestleMania. Something that, you know, it's also in Philadelphia this year. So you could make yourself a cheesesteak, but I would say make yourself a tomahawk steak and stop by the butcher shop. They've got all kinds of great food for you there. Not only fantastic meats, high quality meats that you're going to get for just about the same price you're paying at the grocery store, but you get your cut of meat the way you want it. You get that. You get the option of getting some of their delicious homemade foods that they prepare each and every day. So why not get yourself a nice little buffet of some casserole and, you know, it's the weekend, so they might have some rabbit. All kinds of great things that they make over there at the butcher shop. You can bring home and set up for your WrestleMania party. Because remember, it's 2 days. You're going to need plenty of food. And of course, you can get your beer and wine in the cellar and have that ready as well. Plus all of the snacks that you need, everything. You can find it all at the butcher shop. And if you're not paying attention to WrestleMania, that's fine too. They've got everything you need for your dinner plate and whatever your weekend plans may be. So stop on by the butcher shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford, for a real old school neighborhood market where you get the things that you want, the things that you need, and if they don't have it, they will get it for you. That's the commitment they have to you, the customer, at the butcher shop, 123 Dartmouth Street in New Bedford. Let's go back to the phones, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
You sound great today.
Thank you.
Yeah, you sound really happy. There's some happiness in your voice. I'm wondering, is there something behind the scenes for all that happiness in your voice?
Extra large cup of coffee this morning.
Okay. Yeah, that'll do it for some. Absolutely. I know I like a little bit of decaffeinated tea, though. Okay. Can't do the caffeine myself. So I just really want to, real quick, I just love listening to your show in the morning. God, I'm so grateful for the app that I can listen live. So first I want to say that you wouldn't be the manager of that radio station if you did not know how to respond to that individual. Yesterday with the racism, the crime, you know, and I love the way Oak Bluff, 508, I think it is, sent that text to you. It was very articulated, her wording, and I thought that was incredibly well. I love good vernacular. You handled that really good, Tim. And what's hard about calling early in the show is because when you hear something going on and you just want to call back, but you know you can't. So I just wanted to put that out there to you. A good call on your part, not to argue and all that. Yeah, not enough time.
Sometimes you gotta pick and choose. You know, I know that sometimes, you know, like I might get into it with some people, but I try not to argue and yell in the morning and get into, you know, fights because I really try not to do it so close to the end of the show because that's not fair to the next host to have them get a whole bunch of calls that want to call up and blast me for what I said. And they're right. I don't even know what he said. I wasn't listening. I was prepping for my show.
Right. No, I mean, that's why I say kudos to you. That's why you're the manager. You know how to, you know what you're doing. You definitely know what you're doing over there. And also I wanted to say, well, WWE, The Rock's mother is being indicted. Did you know that?
Yep.
Yeah, she's going into the Hall of Fame because she promised her husband she was going to do that. I was like so thrilled when I saw that. And then I got to do this to you. Hey, brother.
That was a pretty good one. I know that, you know, the people are criticizing because The Rock's so heavily involved in WrestleMania and because he is he's now on the board of directors for the company that now owns WWE. So people are like, oh, he's kind of inserting himself into this. Listen, this has been one of the most enjoyable storylines leading into WrestleMania in a long time. So, and that's, it's paying off. They're setting records. They had a record crowd on Monday night, the biggest Monday Night Raw they've ever had, the biggest gate they've ever had for a Monday Night Raw. So part of that's probably how much the tickets probably cost, but still.
Oh, I know, right? Well, hey, people are willing. you know, just like Red Sox fans, they are willing to pay anything to get and see what they want to see. And, speaking of the Red Sox, yes, that I can't say his name properly. Lamont? How do you say it?
Who's that?
Not the manager. The gentleman that just passed away at 78.
Oh, Larry Lucchino.
Lucchino, yeah. I can't say that name. I don't know why. But what an incredible storyline. I was so impressed to learn all this about him. I think they should make a documentary about him.
Well,
incredible gentleman.
I'm sure they will. So I had the opportunity to meet Larry Lucchino a few times. But the first time that I met him was when I was working at Mill Pond Diner in Wareham, and he went to All-Star game for the Cape Cod Baseball League, which was being held at Wareham High's Field where the Gatemen play, and he came into the diner to have an egg salad sandwich for lunch. And I went out and I was like, Larry Lucchino, and he was wearing his championship ring, and he let everybody in the diner try on his 2004 championship ring. So, you know, we all had like flip phones back then. So I think, you know, somewhere on an old flip phone, I have a photo of me wearing his ring. And then I saw him again the following season. I did a story on the opening of the right field roof seats, or maybe I've got it backwards, but I got to interview him for that story too. And he was, you know, very gracious and very nice.
He seems, I mean, anytime you've seen him on the news, but my bad in all of this is not just I love baseball. I cannot believe I didn't know as much as I'm learning now in his passing, which I think is just terrible on my part not to have known.
He was kind of a reserved guy, so.
I can't believe, like, the Mill Pond Diner, I know exactly where that is. I used to go there a lot in the mornings. You probably cooked my breakfast. I'm sure I did.
You probably heard me yelling in the kitchen how much I hated getting orders. All right,
To go there, that's awesome. What a great thing.
I got to hold you there because I got to take a break, but thank you for the call.
Absolutely.
Have a good day.
Have a great day. You too. Bye.
I got to take this break, and if we get some time, we'll squeeze in another call before the break for the news. But right now, we have to go to this commercial. I'll take one final call here before we go to the news. You're next on WBSM.
Hi, Chip. Morning.
Morning.
Speaking of wrestling, I guess there's a movie out with Yvonne Erickson?
Yes, The Iron Claw.
You heard of it? Oh, okay. Have you seen that? Is it any good?
I did. I saw it when it opened in the theater. So right now, it's on demand. So you can watch it on your cable box on demand, but I forget where it's going after that. But it should be on something or other soon, whether Peacock or Max or whatever it is. But it was a pretty well done movie. They skipped over some things. They actually kept a whole Von Erich brother out of the story, just because they felt like there was too many Von Erichs to focus on. But overall, the movie was very well done.
Yeah, wasn't the father also wrestling as well?
Yep, Fritz Von Erich actually was a wrestler first, and then he's the guy that owned the company that they worked for.
Ah, okay, I gotta watch that. What about, have you seen this one Netflix? I think remember Al Snow?
Yes, that was very good.
That was good. I seen that one. That one's very good about his wrestling and what he goes through. These guys, man, when they do their own thing, they struggle. It's not all about, you know, fame and glory.
We've got people here on the South Coast that run their own wrestling organizations.
Oh yeah, Ted does, right?
Yeah, Ted was just on SmackDown on Friday. Yeah.
Yeah. I know he does some stuff around here down at the PA. It's a good time. I like it. It's a good time, especially for. I used to go all the time, but.
I only got about